The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Get ready, because it'll be a hell of a game.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Fire the cannons!
Still looking, still firing, touchdown.
Brady fires a dart, caught ball,
and he runs in for the touchdown! The Eagles take lead of the game!
Touchdown, Tampa Bay! How about that?
Week 6 begins tonight. The reigning Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers head to Lincoln Financial Field to take on the Eagles. Just a few hours, in just a couple minutes, we'll have injury updates with that guy right there, Adam Schefter. Welcome to NFL Live. We've also got Dan Orlovsky, you got Marcus Spears and Keyshawn Johnson. Ooh, Schefter just went in the elevator right there. All right, later, someone here is going to tell you why the Browns aren't winning because of Baker Mayfield and why it's okay. We'll tell you why. But we begin with tonight's game, and this matchup, of course, it features two quarterbacks in Tom Brady and Jalen Hurts. You're looking at Lincoln Financial Field. Very pretty right there. Let's go ahead and go to Philadelphia. Sal Palantonio joining us now with the latest. And Sal, what has Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni said about Jalen Hurts' development and progress over the last couple weeks?
Laura, first of all, welcome to week 6. Welcome back to South Philadelphia. It is a spectacular day here in the city of brotherly love for a Thursday night football showdown with Tom Brady and Jalen Hurts. And really, they love the improvement they've seen from Jalen Hurts in the last couple of weeks. Nick Sirianni said he's been very impressed by Jalen Hurts' ability to improve not only from quarter to quarter or game to game, but down by down, to throw away those bad plays early in the game like he did against Carolina and check down to wide receivers and tight ends to just move the chains and then hit big plays like he did last week to Quez Watkins to open up the offense. They're very impressed with Jalen Hurts' ability to take command, take leadership, make sure he keeps the offense on schedule when everything is not going right. Remember, they are missing their starting right tackle and their starting left tackle. Now, Jordan Mailata has moved over to right tackle for Lane Johnson while he deals with that personal issue of his. And Mailata put it best. He said, you know what? Jalen Hurts is all bite and no bark. What does he mean by that? He means he's all business. He likes to take care of business on a football field. No complaints, no explanations, just do his job.
Yeah, that's for those who have known Jalen Hurts for a while, Sal, that's how he's always been. Doesn't say a whole lot, but tries to prove it with his actions. More Sal Pal coming later on in the show, so that'll be exciting. Look forward to that. And Jalen Hurts, as Sal was talking about, makes his 10th start tonight, gives the Eagles a chance. He'll need to leverage his versatility, right, something he's excelled at in his young career to give him a chance. If he can throw for 216 yards, he'll become the first player in NFL history to average at least 250 passing yards and 50 rushing yards over his first 10 career starts. Luckily for him, Tampa allows the most passing yards per game this season, certainly a depleted secondary. And Dan, you know, I think the conversation around Jalen Hurts is always, is he enough, right? And even you hear those numbers, he's putting up some really good stats. What are the Eagles, though, getting enough out of him, getting the most out of him?
Well, it seems like it doesn't matter. It seems like Jalen Hurts has to be better than 3 top 10 picks in next year's draft. Jalen Hurts isn't trying to prove to the Philadelphia Eagles that he can be a starting quarterback. That's the elephant in this room, is they got 3 picks in next year's top 10. That's the reality, is you can't just go, well, I'm good, because the Eagles are sitting there going, well, there might be some veteran quarterbacks that we've had our eye on that could be on the move next year. Or if they want to go up to the number one pick, they got ammunition to go get it. And so Jalen Hurts is fighting this battle of trying to prove I'm better than what those 3 first-round picks can get you. But watching this offense, what's head-scratching about it is I don't think they're setting him up to play optimal success. I think they're setting him up for them to get a true evaluation of the type of player and person that he is. They've thrown the ball 3rd most in the NFL. If you asked me 5 weeks ago what this offense would look like, it would be a ground and pound, dominant offensive line, get the ball to your skill, or your running backs. They're throwing the ball like they got Drew Brees at quarterback. That's the confusing aspect of this offense.
Well, it's not really confusing because they're setting him up to have success. This is why he's having the success, Dan. I know you talked about the draft picks that they had, three draft picks, and the possibility that maybe he's playing for his future. Every player in the National Football League, unless you are a made man, you're playing for your future. I mean, that's the reality of it. And then you say, hey, well, maybe they can move up to the number one spot with those picks. Who are they going to draft? Because no college quarterback right now that I've seen, and you covered college, in college football is better than Jalen Hurts for the Philadelphia Eagles right now. The guy's averaging almost 270-plus yards passing. He got 7 TDs on the season. He's only threw 3 interceptions. That's not a lot. He's having a productive year. And I think as he grows within this new system, he would only continue to get better. As Laura says, it's always this, is he enough? And he only continues to go out there and show and display to people that say, oh, well, we don't know if he is. That's all he's been doing.
Yeah, you know, a reminder, too, that if Carson Wentz plays 75% of the snaps for the Colts, that's where the other rate. We saw that earlier. Quickly, Dan, I mean, is there a quarterback that they could draft, the Eagles could draft, that would be better than Jalen Hurts right now in the college game?
Malik Willis from Liberty looks pretty good. I haven't studied them all, but he's a really, really talented guy. But, again, there's some veterans that are going to be part of this conversation as well.
Yeah, well, that's another good point. All right, Marcus, when you think about Hurts tonight, though, specifically, in an opportunity to prove some things, it's really important to know notice who he's going up against in this Tampa Bay defense.
Absolutely. When you hear Dan and Keith talk about his evaluation, this is a pivotal game, in my opinion, because you have a ravaged secondary and defense with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And if they want to push the ball down the field, he has to be able to do it tonight. This is one of those ones that should be similar to a layup. Get his guys involved. Play this game and compete at a very high level. I'm in firm belief that Jalen Hurts can be a starter and a high-level quarterback in this league if you use him the right way.
Right.
But he has to take those steps because this evaluation, like I said at the beginning of the season, is going to be season long. But in this particular game, with an entire secondary almost being out, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't have Lavonte David. He has to have success through the air, and I believe he will.
It's so interesting to just think about this. I get why he's being evaluated real time in this way, but, hey, man, you're being evaluated against the Super Bowl champs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Adam, I want your thoughts on this. What more can you add about the Eagles and their future plans at quarterback?
Well, Laura, last offseason, the Eagles were linked to a lot of different quarterbacks that could be available, and there's no team that is better positioned to make a move at quarterback this upcoming offseason than the Philadelphia Eagles. It doesn't mean they will or they won't. It just means that they have the most ammunition of any team in the league to do whatever they want at quarterback. And there's been a lot of discussion this offseason about how Aaron Rodgers could be free, Russell Wilson could be free, all the quarterbacks in the draft. There's a lot that's going to happen at the quarterback position this upcoming offseason. And again, you come back to the Eagles, who right now would have 3 picks in the top 10. That's a lot of firepower to go do whatever it is that you decide that you want to do. And their evaluation of Jalen Hurts over the course of this entire season will wind up playing into what they do this upcoming offseason.
Yeah, if they decide to stick with Hurts, you think about some of the players they could surround him with in the draft and beyond. Of course, lots of big names on the injury report tonight. Adam, tell us what we should know. Let's start with Rob Gronkowski.
Rob Gronkowski's already been ruled out of the game tonight, Laura. This is obviously a function of him still dealing with the rib injury, with the lug injury, and all the pain that he's been through. Too short a week. So I would think after giving him off some time here, that after this, now he might have enough time to be able to come back the next time Tampa is in action in 10 days. That would be a good thing. Lavonte David is out tonight against the Eagles. Obviously a big loss to the Tampa Bay defense, somebody who provides speed, power, pass rush, leadership, all those valuable traits for Tampa's defense to have to overcome. Not a good thing for the defense. And then, of course, Tom Brady has the thumb injury, but he is expected to play, and there is a score to settle. I think Tom Brady probably remembers very well that the team that last beat him in the Super Bowl was none other than the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm sure he will carry that with him tonight and to try to make sure that he can play. And again, even with the thumb injury, I think the way the Eagles organization approaches it is that this guy plays with everything. He's a Terminator. It doesn't matter what he has wrong. He's just going to keep coming at you.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. We're just about 4 hours away from the start of week six. More Adam coming your way, and we're just getting started here on NFL Live. Hey, we'll tell you why Josh Allen isn't just a two-way player. He's actually a three-way player. Dan is going to illustrate all of his great assets and why he's one of the best QBs in the game right now. Plus, we're going to give our game picks for Thursday night football. Stick around to see if there's any surprises. Anyone picking the Eagles? We're going to find out. That's next on NFL Live. Keep it locked right here on a Thursday.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
When it comes to setting your lineup, every decision matters and every point counts. So don't leave it to chance. Leave it to Watson. IBM Watson determines which players are most likely to exceed their fantasy projections on any given week. And you can find these boom and bust calculations right in the player cards. So turn your tough decisions into easy ones with IBM Watson's boom and bust analysis. Go to ESPN.com/FFL or download the ESPN Fantasy app now to get started.
Commit to doing that. I'm just trying to.
Hey, our Week 6 Monday Night Football matchup has Josh Allen in the AFC East leading Bills in Tennessee taking on Derrick Henry in the AFC South leading Titans. This huge matchup starts at 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6 Eastern. New on NFL Live, speaking of that Monday Night game from our own Field Yates, Titans wide receiver Julio Jones dealing with a hamstring was a full participant in practice today. That suggests he could be trending towards a return on Monday Night against the Bills. Has an extra day, of course, not playing on Sunday, so keep an eye on that. Let's go to the Bills. They've been all systems go this year. They lead the NFL with a plus 108 point differential this season. The next closest team is the Cardinals at plus 62. That's not very close. Cardinals undefeated, of course. And Buffalo's just the ninth team in the last 50 seasons to outscore its opponents by 100 or more points through the first five games of the season. Context, six of the previous eight teams to do that reached the Super Bowl. Dan, seems like Josh Allen in this offense are doing it all. What does the tape say?
Yeah, so to be a top-tier quarterback in today's NFL, you have to be a three-tool player. You got to be able to beat guys with your arm, you got to beat them with your legs, and then you got to beat it with your mind. One of the reasons why the Bills are the best team in football and a Super Bowl contender is because Josh Allen is just that. So your arm. All right, the coverage for Kansas City is going to be man-to-man across the board, right? You got press man across the board. This safety is going to drop down as a robber or a buzzer, and that guy's going to drop to the middle of the field. Okay, Josh Allen's pass concept is 2x2. He's got seams in the middle of the field by both his slots and then stop routes on the outside. Now, these guys should be dead because of the coverage. You're really thinking those slot routes on the perimeter. Now, Josh Allen is going to see coverage rotate at the snap and then realize, okay, nothing's open. Look at his pockets a little muddy, right? He's got bodies around him. Pockets a little muddy. I got to get out there and find somebody to throw the football to. There is no receiver open at this moment. Josh does an outstanding job of breaking contain. Now, everyone's got to understand, Josh is running full speed from two guys that are 280 pounds. He is a 6'5", 240-pound guy running full speed towards the sideline. Now, to make a throw to Dawson Knox as he sees down here. Okay, Dawson, there's space down here. No one is down there. To make that throw, you got to have a big-time arm. Josh points it to him and says, let me fling this ball full speed, running to the right 37 yards. That is elite. Now, let me beat you with my legs. Now, this play is called quarterback counter bash. I'm going to take these guys backside, and they're going to be pullers. Man-to-man coverage by Kansas City on the backside or on the defensive end. I am not blocking that defensive end there. I'm going to fake it to McKenzie or give it to McKenzie, and the read is going to be that defensive end. If that defensive end hangs or comes down inside, I'm going to give it to McKenzie. I'd run outside of him. If this 51 steps down, I'm just going to give it to McKenzie, and we're going to break contain. Well, if he hangs, then I'm going to take it myself. And that's exactly what 51 does. Josh Allen takes him himself, and now I've got this huge lane following those pullers so you can beat people with your legs. Now, this is where he's got his greatest growth. Beat people with your mind. Okay, the pass concept up top. You got a deep middle sit by Beasley right here. Deep middle sit. And then you got really a double move, condensed split by Sanders. Wide in that corner, and let's take our shot. Now, the coverage Josh Allen is going to see is at the bottom of the screen. Sorensen's really going to try to sell. Hey, I'm rolling down to a cover three middle field close defense. But Josh does a great job of going, no. I'm going to peek that corner up top. Because if he doesn't move, it can't be middle field close. If he hangs, it's got to be middle field open. Now, if I want middle field open defense, I got to get that safety. I got to get that safety to commit down. Now, Josh does an awesome job, right? Look at Josh right now. He's got his eyes at that safety, right at Beasley. Like, I want to open up this window for that double move to Emmanuel Sanders. Holds that safety, resets his body, and then the absolute rope downfield to Emmanuel Sanders. So, listen, this guy's a three-tool player. I showed you his arm is spectacular, and they use him like Baltimore uses Lamar Jackson with his legs, and his mind is taking over football games. They can win a Super Bowl because of Josh Allen.
Wow. Dan, you're a three-tool player on the touchscreen. I saw your legs involved there. I saw your arm and your mind. Good job. Marcus, we got Dan on the offense, right? But let's flip to the Bills' defense. Why have they been so successful this season?
Yeah, can we talk about some defense, please, and
let's
what Leslie Frazier has been doing? He only gave up 20 points to the Kansas City Chiefs, turned the ball over twice. And when you see what he's doing because of the talent that he has defensively with Poirier and Hyde, maybe the best safety tandem in the league, and then Tre'Davious is able to lock in on one of the best corners. And now he has the ability to get after the passer with four. Russo has been a godsend. They are playing better up front as a football team. But when you think about this team pitching two shutouts, when you think and you think about what they did to the Kansas City Chiefs, and you match that with what Dan just illustrated about how this offense is rolling, this is the most complete team in football based on where we are right now. And when you think about this too, take Leslie Frazier and give him guys that can move around and that are smart enough to be where they need to be when the play and the snap happens, and he can take advantage of what offenses are doing. Look, we talked about the two cover shell with Patrick Mahomes, and we said that all defenses do it, but all defenses don't have the type of guys that Leslie Frazier has. He understands he can do some magical things with his personnel, and he's doing it at a very high level.
I like the fact that you gave yourself a little out there, Marcus. I love the Bills, too. But you know what you said? You said right now, because I think you're smart enough to know it's an early season and teams are going to be coming. You cannot count out the Baltimore Ravens. You cannot simply just say, oh, the Buffalo Bills are the best team. They're going to run the table. They're going to win the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs aren't going anywhere, man. They're going to come back to the pack. Right now, they're sitting at 2-3, and they've got to figure some stuff out on the defensive side of the ball. I believe Patrick Mahomes, Eric Bieniemy, and Coach Reed will get the offense solidified. And then on the defensive side, they've always struggled into the end of the season. So I'm betting that they'll get better, no question about it. And then the Baltimore Ravens, they are simply just good because of the guy underneath the center. He is a freak athlete, and he has them playing at a different level. So those three teams for me, even though that record in Kansas City looks a certain way, they're still even.
Yeah, you can't ever count out Patrick Mahomes. Keith, thanks for being the voice of reason there. Let's get to some DraftKings predictions. The focus today is Cowboys-Patriots. Keith, we start with you. Who has more receiving yards Sunday, CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper?
I think it's going to be Amari Cooper. Big Swagoo told me in our pre-production meeting that it might be a little Bill Belichick showers up in Foxborough with that happening. You're going to see a lot of hitch routes, things, screens, things to him where he can touch the football. It won't be a lot of downtown big plays by him, but small stuff.
All right, Dan, we stick with that game. Mac Jones, does he throw for two or more touchdowns on Sunday?
I'm going to say two. Yes, I will say he will get two touchdowns. Mac's got really, really good moments of football right now. Aguilar, the tight ends, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry's become a big, in the past couple weeks, a big guy that he's trying to feature football-wise. So I like Mac Jones's decision-making. That being said, there should not be a single throw that leaves his hands that goes towards Tavon Diggs in this football game.
Yeah, it's a good point. Diggs, speaking of him, has an interception in each of his first five games. Marcus, does he get another interception versus New England?
Tell him, Dan. Tell him. Yes, he absolutely does, because the one thing that people have to understand about Trayvon Diggs, he's making tremendous plays in man coverage. But he'll go rogue to pick you. And I think he's going to try to play with Mac Jones' mind and bait him and allow him to think that he has a window and jump that thing. So I'm looking for Trayvon Diggs to get another one. And if he get another one,
I'm glad
y'all
you
know what's
going to
happen
name.
Monday.
I'm glad you called him his right name, Trayvon Diggs.
You're going to go crazy. Trayvon Diggs. New on NFL Live. Adam, some news out of Chicago.
Well, Laura, moments ago, the Chicago Bears placed Damian Williams, the man who was replacing David Montgomery, on the reserve COVID-19 list. To do it on a Thursday certainly doesn't bode well for his status Sunday against the Green Bay Packers, which means the Chicago Bears, in all probability, will be leaning on Khalil Herbert and Ryan Nall, two other running backs in a big NFC North showdown against the Green Bay Packers. Again, Damian Williams on the reserve COVID-19 list.
Interesting, Adam. A big moment potentially for Justin Fields in this offense and now without one of their key players. We got more coming your way on NFL Live. Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert may be the names in the marquee, but stay tuned to see which head-to-head matchup may decide the outcome of one of the biggest games of the week. Next on NFL Live.
DraftKings is the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And this Sunday only, new players can play free for over $1 million in total prizes when you make your first deposit. Download the DraftKings app and sign up with the code NFLLive.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This season on NFL Countdown.
I know. I don't think he want to win as much as I do, though, because I hate losing.
I think it would just show that we haven't wasted the greatness that we have.
Nobody likes us if you're not a fan of us.
It's one of those moments I'll never forget.
I think I'm like living on the edge, man. I like being different.
We just need to be better down the stretch so we can win those games and get into the playoffs.
Appreciate you, dog, man. It's been awesome. Yeah.
Punch John in the stomach for me, will you?
Catch the NFL's biggest stars every Sunday morning and Monday night on NFL Countdown on ESPN.
Justin Herbert flies into Baltimore to face Lamar Jackson, both entering this one red hot. Herbert's success has come in the clutch. He's got the best QBR in the fourth quarter this season after ranking 17th last year. Also leads the league in QBR on third and fourth down. As for Jackson, he's not just punishing defenses with his legs. Jackson's completing 54% of his deep ball passes and is fifth in the league in passing yards. So much for figuring him out, right? And FPI likes his chances to win this battle of the youth. The Ravens have a 59% chance to win the game, but we've seen far bigger upsets than that this year. Keith, we've got the quarterbacks down, right? Everyone's going to be talking about that. But what's the matchup you're watching for in this Chargers-Ravens game?
I think I'm looking at the receiver position in Baltimore as well as the tight end, Andrews. You talk about Hollywood Brown, but then you look at the secondary, and what is it that the Los Angeles Chargers are going to do to defend this passing attack that Baltimore all of a sudden has found? Because guess what they're doing, Marcus and Dan? They're catching a damn football.
Oh,
and when
boy.
You catch the football, it becomes elite in these situations. I just had to throw that in there to let my guys know this is going to be a challenge. But here's the interesting thing. What are they going to do with Derwin James on the defensive side of the ball for the Chargers? Are they going to leave him in the box? Are they going to spy Lamar? Like, what are they going to do, Swaggoo? Because I have no idea at this moment.
Yeah, watching Brandon Staley all year, you see him using Derwin as a tool. And it's funny, Dan talked about a 3-2 player with Josh Allen, and you think about how they will deploy Derwin James. Now, listen, I don't want to get people carried away. They just gave up 42 points to the Cleveland Browns. And they gave up a lot of yards on the ground. So they have their issues as well. And when you think about what Lamar and them has been doing, he's been doing it from the pocket, but this is still a team that wants to run the football. So will Derwin be in the box? Will he be deep trying to figure out if Lamar is going to try to operate like he operated against the Indianapolis Colts? Or will they say, hey, you have Mark Andrews and we'll take care of everything else? Staley did a tremendous job last year with the Los Angeles Rams. figuring out where Jalen Ramsey needed to be and how he could take away a large portion of the field. I expect him to do the same thing with Derwin James, and that means Asante Samuel Jr., Haywood, all of these guys on the back end will have to step up when they in man-to-man situations. 33 will be all over the place. Coming off a 17-tackle game last week, he's going to have to be special again Sunday.
I can't believe Keyshawn's the number one pick in the draft, and he's praising people for doing the simplest act that they get asked to do is ask the football.
Boy, I'll tell you what, said man. They needed – you said you he didn't have any weapons. Boy. All they needed to do is catch the damn football.
This is why Dan's talking smack, because, Key, you're not in studio right now to get physical with him like you did the last time. Go ahead, Dan.
I'm looking at the Chargers' offense and thinking – you know, the way that I expect them to come and attack this Ravens defense early on is really trying to get Cook and Eckler involved in their pass game. Jared Cook and Austin Eckler. If you watched Indy, they would flex out their tailbacks and use them as pass catching options. This one on Patrick Queen. Maybe flex out your tight end Jared Cook and RPO him to work the middle of the field. And then what is Baltimore's answer going to be for Anthony Averett, the left corner? Because it was obvious on Monday Night Football that Carson Wentz and the Colts were going there, and they even started to lean a safety. Baltimore did to that side. You know, the Chargers are just going to put Mike Williams or Keenan Allen out there and go, okay, what are you going to do to stop this? Because the Colts had a lot of success throwing that way when it was obvious that they were doing it. So I think early on, getting Eckler and Cook involved in the pass game and testing those linebackers for Baltimore, but also if I'm the offensive coordinator, John Lombardi, you got to show me you can stop somebody on the left side of the field.
Yeah, it's fascinating to think about both sides of this game, and I can't wait for it. Let's get Adam Schefter back in here with some more injury updates. Adam, the Giants host the Rams this week and still don't know if their quarterback and running back are going to be available. Walk us through what we know. Let's start with Daniel Jones.
Laura, we last saw Daniel Jones staggering off the field in Dallas, but he was back at practice today in a limited fashion in a red jersey after suffering a concussion on this play right here, tackle to the ground. Struggled to get back up, was limited in practice yesterday, was limited today, still has to be cleared by a third-party neurologist, but right now trending the right way. But Saquon Barkley, of course, did not practice today after spraining his ankle on that play right there, turning his foot. It looks like it'll be a multi-week absence for Saquon Barkley. Doesn't look like he's going to play on Sunday against the Los Angeles Rams with that sprained ankle. But again, a did not practice today for Saquon as the Giants will await his return. And the Washington football team announced today, Laura, that one of the more beloved players in their franchise history, Sean Taylor, will have his number 21 retired during Sunday's game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Should be an emotional scene when Washington is at home playing that game. Sean Taylor, best remembered for some of the great plays that he made, the violent hits that he put on players. Obviously, his life taken out way too early, and the Washington football team will retire that number. No one will ever wear it again.
Yeah, congratulations to Washington for doing that, and, of course, to Sean Taylor and his family. All right, up next on NFL Live, we've got a whole lot more coming your way. Sal Powell is live from Philly to give us the most recent report on Tom Brady and the Bucks. Everything you need to know about this game tonight's coming up in just a few hours. Plus, the Dan wagon. The horses are back, Dan. It's time to find out who's going to be on the wagon this week. Oh, no, Dan's got his own horse. Dan, giddy up. Come on. Yeehaw. Oh, my goodness. I wish I never saw that happen. We'll be right back. Watch out. These horses are going to run into each other. A horse crash.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Pregame HQ is brought to you by Domino's. Order something for everyone with Domino's Mix and Match Menu. Order online and track your order. Who do you love so much this week that you're putting them on the Dan wagon?
Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen has been so good.
Fires into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo!
I have to talk about Justin Herbert. They have unlocked him being confident. The White Tiger himself, Rob Gronkowski.
Holy guacamole!
My man Travis Kelce is on the Dan wagon.
Who else is he putting on the wagon? This is our regular weekly love fest of Dan Orlovsky with whoever's got his attention this week in the NFL. Who's riding shotgun on the wagon this week, Dan?
Do you think a Boilermaker has ever been on a wagon? That would make sense, right? I'm going to say new age. Percy Harvin.
Ooh.
Rondale Moore.
Let's go.
The Arizona Cardinals. He has, in many ways, transformed this offense. 21 catches this year. What I love is he's averaging 17 yards per catch. And they'll sometimes just throw bubble screens and then his athleticism speed takes it down the perimeter. Kyler's got a lot of trust in him in traffic because he's kind of made some of those plays. Also, they're using him a little bit as a ball carrier. 6 carries, 3 last week, 9 yards per carry. This catch on the sideline is obviously absolutely ridiculous. So you're talking about a guy that's got 27 touches already in the first month of the season. And yes, Kyler's been great and their offensive line has been great. Hop is awesome, but I really believe that addition of a guy like Rondale Moore, again, that has got those Percy Harvin type of traits that you can play as a traditional wide receiver, but then you could also use him in your RPO game, your catch and throw game, your perimeter screen game, and then you could give him some of these jet sweeps, three carries, like I said last week. So Rondale Moore, you, Boilermaker, Purdue, I'm going to imagine a Boilermaker at some point was on a wagon. You are now part of the Dan Wagon family. Welcome.
All right. The Cardinals have the Browns this week, so tough matchup there. Let's do yeehaw on three. 1, 2, 3.
Yeehaw!
All right.
That was actually pretty good.
Let's get back to tonight, Philadelphia.
Yeehaw!
This is Eagles. Stop. And therefore, Tom Brady and Jalen Hurts with an opportunity against each other. Interesting note in the Bucs offense to keep an eye on. Only 19% of their total yardage this season has come on rushes. They're throwing it around a lot. Let's check in on the Domino's pregame headquarters. We're going to bring in Sal Palantonio once again from Philadelphia. Sal, what has Tom Brady had to say this week about the Eagles' defense he'll be on the field with tonight?
He's talked about them being a tough challenge. And, you know, he's coming into this game with a sore right thumb. He heard it in the second quarter against the Dolphins when Wilkins, number 94 of the Dolphins, came in through the A-gap and knocked his helmet on Brady's thumb. Now, Brady did finish the game rather strongly. He had 3 touchdown drives in the second half, and they blew the Dolphins out down there at $1 at Tampa in Tampa Bay. Now he faces an Eagles defense, and what does the Eagles defense do? They drop into coverage. Jonathan Gannon does not blitz. They're last in the league in blitz. They like to blitz. They like to get pressure up the middle with Javon Hargrave and Fletcher Cox. Here's Tom Brady talking about it.
It's a really tough defense. You know, they get a lot of pressure with those guys up front. They have one of the best D-lines in football. So they're doing some different things with their coverages. They got a talented group of players, no doubt. And I think they're kind of an ascending football team. And I think it's a team that they're a very dangerous football team. Dangerous, they're very explosive on defense.
Now, Brady said his thumb is a little bit sore. He has had a black glove on it, limited in practice all throughout this week, but he's going to play through it. This is a guy who played through a bad knee and won the Super Bowl at age 43. Now he's coming out here. But you know what? There's been a little bit reverse line movement. And before you guys pick the game, you know, I'm smelling like Key and Orlovsky and Marcus. They're going to pick blowout with the Bucks in this game. And I'm going to just give you this number. We're in South Philly. I had to come through 2 Street in order to get here, okay? So Brady, in his last 10 primetime games, is 0-10 against the spread. So don't be picking out any blowouts of the birds tonight in South Philly. I'm just saying.
Hey, I just got to tell you, Sal, I'm picking the game too, and we're about to do our game picks. I'm definitely not saying it's going to be a blowout. So you'll see what's going to happen in just a couple minutes.
That was the best.
I love him.
I'll be watching. I'm going to be watching.
Yeah, Sal, keep receipts on us, okay? If we're wrong here, you got to call us out. I'm sure you will. Let's get some game picks. All right, Key, you heard what Sal had to say there. Changing anything about where you're going tonight? What do you got for us? Oh, look at us. Oh, wait. Key, look at you. Wow. Dan, you look like a real nerd.
I look like I fit in. What are you talking about?
I look very incredulous. Oh, all right, goodness. Key, go ahead. Sorry.
Look, Key. Looks just like a Eagle fan.
You know what, Laura? Yeah, stupid, I look man. Like this, but I ain't no damn dummy. I'm taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I might look stupid, but I ain't stupid. I'm taking the Bucs. And it might not be a blowout, but it's going to get out of hand at some point. It'll be 35-24 in the end.
Key, no one said you look like a dummy. Go, Marcus.
Yeah, I got to take in consideration that the secondary for the Bucs is ravaging. I think the Philly will keep it close, but I got the Bucs 35-27. And Tom Brady is going to go crazy. He understands that he has to put points on the board. I expect him to do so tonight.
Well, sorry, Sal Pell. I'm taking the Bucs, and I actually think it will be one-sided. I just think Tom pushing the ball at these safeties is going to be a big deal. That being said, Sal Pell, if you're in Philly, hook me up with a DeLisandro's cheesesteak. Mm-hmm. I want American cheese on it, no whiz, and send it my way up into Connecticut. Give me two of them, please.
I'm going to go whiz wit. Isn't that how they say it?
Yeah, they do, but whiz without.
No, I love Wiz. All right, I'm doing the Bucs too. Okay, so here we go. Clean sweep across the board. We're all picking the Buccaneers. I don't think it's as much of a blowout as Dan does. I got 28-20. And you saw us all have footage of Tom Brady in our game picks because we all believe in Tom Brady, and I don't blame us for that. But we are going to get some cheesesteaks up in here.
Oh, DeLisandro's cheesesteaks are the best in
the
world.
Look at Philly coming out in the sky over here.
Best in the world.
Can I point the right way?
Oh, yeah,
there
he is.
Yeah, he does not eat the bread. All right, new on NFL Live from the Cincinnati Bengals. They have acquired cornerback Trey Flowers on waivers from the Seattle Seahawks, adding a little bit of depth to that defense there. So the Bengals with a roster update. Flowers now joining them in Cincinnati. Still to come on NFL Live, Baker Mayfield is not crunch time friendly. Find out next which quarterbacks Dan picks to have in the fourth quarter before Baker.
Oh, man.
All the latest on Mayfield and the Browns. That's coming your way next on NFL Live. Ooh, get ready for this one.
Oh, boy.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, very interesting. Not sure if I understand that one.
Hindsight's 20-20. Nobody said anything when we were in Minnesota before halftime and Kareem popped a 20-something yard run to convert on 3rd-and-20. So when you look at this past game, we left a lot of points on the board in the first half to where we wouldn't have needed a late drive. It's natural human instinct to want the ball in your hands and to have that, you know, that last play mentality. I care about one stat, and that's wins and losses, and we didn't win.
Great expectations for this Browns team, and a lot of it on Baker Mayfield's shoulders. But since the start of last season in one-score games in the fourth quarter and overtime, Baker struggled. Look at this. He's completed just 59% of his passes. In fact, 22% of his throws have been off target. That means they're either under or overthrown. That's second worst in the NFL. This all amounts to a 45 QBR in these late clutch game situations. A reminder that QBR is 1 to 100, so 45. Not very good. Dan, how big of an issue are these crunch time struggles for Baker?
I don't think they're that big of an issue. Baker's in his fourth year. We talk about Baker like he's a 10-year veteran. We talk about Baker Mayfield like he didn't pull the Cleveland Browns literally out of the dumpster from one of the worst, if not the worst, franchises in American sports to where they are right now. We're talking about them as Super Bowl contenders. Is Baker Mayfield a quarterback that you can win a Super Bowl because right now? No. I can't say that. Is Baker Mayfield a quarterback that you can win a Super Bowl with? Absolutely. And we only focus on the fourth quarter. Like, nothing else in the game matters. And I, like, objectively, how many quarterbacks would I take over Baker Mayfield in a fourth quarter since we only say he's a terrible quarterback? These would be the 12 guys that I could confidently say, I'll take these guys over Baker Mayfield right now. Now, two of those guys, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, are more than likely not going to be playing football in the next 2 or 3 years, so to speak, right? So that gonna put Baker Mayfield as a top 10 quarterback
overall in everything, whether performance in the first quarter, second quarter, when it matters the most, fourth quarter. And so I just look at it and go, 2 years ago, Jimmy Garoppolo went to the Super Bowl. 3 years ago, Jared Goff went. 4 years ago, Nick Foles won it. 5 years ago, Matt Ryan went. 8 years ago, the Ravens went with Joe Flacco and won it. So we focus on Baker Mayfield and only the negative instead of looking at the reality that he's a really good quarterback. And I can appreciate it, Marcus, and I can understand where you're coming from. But to sit here and go like, well, he can't get it done in the fourth quarter, blah, 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 that means that we're only trying to find the stuff that he's not good at yet.
I'm just praying. I'm praying so we do this the right way.
Come on.
Say this first. Dan Baker has earned his way into this particular conversation.
Correct.
And I get what you're saying. And I'm not saying Baker is not a good quarterback or a solid quarterback. But at what point do we start to judge him when we put all of this on that team winning a Super Bowl? And leading into the season, what did everybody say? Baker Mayfield needs to take another step in order for Cleveland to get it done.
Right.
And we know what these games are going to come down to. It's not a figment of our imagination. Every time they play a really good team in the AFC, it's going to come down to late game management, late game putting your team in the end zone. And as of right now, this season, I don't want to go in on Baker. Baker's playing well. And I'm not comparing his late game situations to what he's doing overall. But, D.O., you know damn well how we judging quarterbacks on Super Bowl contending teams.
Yeah.
And you know how we judging quarterbacks in the AFC when we think about Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes. What are you – Lamar Jackson, what are you going to have to do majority of the time in those games as a quarterback to beat those guys?
Here's what I would say, man. Being at the game this past weekend, watching them play the Cleveland Browns, getting that view from up top. You know, Dan, you call games, so you know what you're looking at. Marcus, you know what you're looking at. Baker Mayfield in late game situations, he's just not that guy right now. His play overall is good. But the team is not good enough to where they're blowing teams out where he can just relax late in games in the fourth quarter. I watch guy like Odell Beckham Jr. pre-snap read. I'm sitting there. I can call out a play. Hell, I got experience. Oh, here he goes. They're going to give it. Oh, whether he didn't even look at him. What is he doing?
Yeah.
I'm watching this. I'm watching all of it. Trust me. It's not a bad thing for Baker Mayfield to learn from his mistakes. He's having too many of these. That's why we're having this conversation. We wouldn't even have this conversation because as you get going in the playoffs and you get going in a situation where you're trying to win a championship and you're a minute to go in a game and you're giving the ball back to the other team because you can't score or you can't convert, that's a problem. When your coach decides, hey, we're not going to go for it on fourth down because we don't believe you can do it. That's a problem.
All right, so
I've never been on a team with a quarterback like that. I'm just being honest with you, Dan.
I've never heard a quarterback get criticized ever after hanging a 42 burger on someone like we have heard Baker criticized this week.
But it's not,
Dan, stop, no, bro.
It's about the
stop, bro.
Quarter.
Stop.
It's about the last
stop,
minute
man.
Of a game.
Don't do that.
It's not about the course.
Fellas,
don't
do that.
Fellas,
man.
Respectfully,
don't
I understand. No, he's not Justin Herbert, and he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Aaron Rodgers. No, but he's also not all the other guys that came before Baker Mayfield. Now, Key, I want to hit on something that you referenced, and I think it's a fair point. With everything with Baker, if Odell Beckham gets three more targets this week, like he did have last week, this organization is going to have an issue on their hands, and the trade deadline is coming.
And Dad, I'm laughing because I am a body language expert for wide receivers. When I'm at games and I can read their body language when they're not happy, I know exactly what they're thinking, which is get me the hell away from this dude because I cannot survive this way.
Yeah.
There's no question about it, Dan. When you got a talented wide receiver, and everybody always talk about receivers want the ball because they're selfish, yada, yada. A guy like OBJ, a guy like myself, we trying to help our damn team win.
Yeah.
And when you don't give us the damn ball and we lose, we get mad.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah,
you guys, Odell spoke today. I want to see if we can play this sound really fast here. This is something that he said today about his place on this team.
I can't sit here and lie like I don't want the ball. Like I tell you, every time I get up here, they don't play James Harden for defense. You know what I mean? He's a shooter. Like I feel like I'm a shooter, you know? I know that I bring a lot of attention to defenses on the other end, and other people are going to be open. And, you know, you just got to live with that. The ultimate goal is to win the championship. And I feel like I'm in a great situation to do that.
Marcus, as you heard him talk and you're raising your eyebrows, he does not seem thrilled there at all.
You think you would be thrilled with the talent that OBJ has and get three targets in a football game?
Yeah.
Especially when you're playing a team and you're trying to beat them down the stretch. I understand totally where he's coming from. I understand, too. I played with Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn Johnson was getting the ball when I started with the Dallas Cowboys if we needed plays to be made. It was also going to be Terry Glenn. It wasn't going to be other guys. It wasn't going to be guys that you're looking for. Yeah, throw the ball to the open man. But they were going to be 1A options. That's what they were going to be. Three targets in a football game that ended up 42-47 for OBJ, especially when you need him in crunch time, is a little bit puzzling to me.
Yeah, I just think simply put this way. If it happens again, he's too good and he's getting open too much to continue to allow it to happen. Yeah. At some point, he's going to take the future of his career into his own hands. And I just think.
As he should.
Yeah, I agree, Key.
It's really
as
interesting. Something to keep an eye on. Either way, the Browns hosting the Cardinals
we need some more time
on Sunday.
Today.
2 hours.
I know. I wish we had 2 hours, guys. Hey, everybody, enjoy the beginning of Week 6 tonight. You got the Bucks and the Eagles.
I ain't done with you, Dan.
What was Keaton putting up there? All right.
I ain't done with you.
All right.
I'm right here.
We'll see you guys tomorrow on NFL Live.